Thank you, brother.
It's on already, the lapel mic. And turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, Brother Parsons talking about that a little bit. And that weekend. Is everything all? Do I need to hit a button or something? Let's say there's a lot of feedback up here. I can use this if I need to.
Soggy Bob boys fall.
If I'm Brother Parsons, I'd probably share this. I think I've heard him say it before. If I stay here at the pulpit, I'll probably preach a little bit shorter. And so we'll see. And I might just get loud, but you guys streaming it?
Yeah.
So then they wouldn't hear me even if I got loud. But he was talking about the pandemic. It was that weekend that they first started counting cases here in the U.S., and it, by Monday or Tuesday, I mean, the whole world was in a frenzy, it seemed like, and we had people upset at us. We had people called us. They were like, I've sanitized my door, and you guys are sending out people to knock on it. It's spreading. They're killing these young people. How many college students died from that? Any of them? It was a crazy week. We were holding Jubilee services that week. And you remember we had that man come in, was it Thursday? Come in the back door, Brother Parsons? Yeah. I was sitting on the platform. Brother Parsons went back there, and the guy told us that, told Brother Parsons that we were inhumane for having services and wanted to know what we were going to do, you know. And he stood there, was expecting us to stop because he wanted us to. Those thoughts, those memories, kind of fit into what I'm planning to preach on today. And it's an odd text. I've been going through the book of Ephesians with my church on Wednesday nights and did this in kind of a lesson format last Wednesday. And Lord's kind of kept it on my heart. And I was talking to my wife, and many of you know I got remarried. And I'm not going to make her stand up and embarrass her, but just wave your hand for us if you don't mind, dear. And that's been a tremendous blessing. The Lord's really blessed me in that way, and I appreciate all the prayers. But picked a text for this sermon, and you might think it's a little odd at first. I'm going to the verse where it talks about wives submitting to your husbands. thank you, preacher. But I don't plan to preach on women submitting to their husbands today. I will, in the introduction, talk about it. I just have an introduction and 2 points. And I'd like to say this, as far as introduction goes, let's go to the scripture passage. We'll start down in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. If you're able to, we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God today. He says, in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Now skip down with me a little bit, if you would. Verse 21, he says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your," I want everybody to say this next word with me out loud, "your own husbands. Under your own husbands, as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time to be here in this place, the opportunity, dear Lord, to preach at this pulpit. This is my home church, dear Lord, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I pray that you bless the preaching, dear Lord, that's about to happen today, and the rest of the singing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me just say this, as far as introduction goes, that the home and the union between husband and wife is a representation of God in the church, Jesus in the church. If you look down with me, go down a little bit, look at me, verse 32, he says, "This is a great mystery," talking still about husband and wife and the relationship together that they share. He said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now, he gives us truths that we ought to apply to our marriages. The truth is, for husbands to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and for the wives to submit to their own husbands. And that's the formula, that's the program that God has designed for the marriage, and it's a picture of the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we talk about that, just for introduction's sake, let me just say this. Husbands, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
That's what we're to do. And then wives, it's your role to understand what the authority is. It's the husband, and then to submit to that authority. And so as we see that, we understand that, you know, and I say this, when a husband loves his wife the way he ought to, he'll be a happy husband. And when a wife submits the way she ought to, she'll be a happy wife. And so I want to talk about the church today, because it's very clearly, according to this passage, that the wife is a picture of the church. As I read, as I was going through with my church, and I got down to verse 22, and he says, your own husbands. And I thought about who the church has been submitting to. As we think about on a national scale, where the submission has been in the church. I tell you, I've seen a lot of unhappy families, unhappy husbands, wives, because there's been a lack of love and a lack of submission. That's what it comes down to, a lack of love and a lack of submission. And so to really do this this message, I think to give it a good summary, I've got 2 points. Number one, who the husband is. Who's the husband of the church? We talk about this, and I know that we're not if we were to go into Bible term, we are a spouse to the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a wedding feast in the future, but we are a spouse. And I know for all technicality's sake, no, the wedding has not taken place yet. Right. I understand that, and that's not what I'm trying to say, but I want to make the application of who we are to submit to. Who we are to submit to. Even in what we would consider like an engagement period, it's much like an espousal is actually a little bit more serious than what an engagement period would be. But even in an engagement period, if you have a man and a woman, it is expected that that man and woman will love each other, and that in their feelings and emotions would submit to each other. It is expected. And so as we talk about Jesus Christ and the church is a spouse to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're at a place where we ought to be submitting to him. Submitting to him. Go back, verse 22 with me again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. For sake of introduction, I can tell you this. Nothing makes a husband more irritated than when a wife will submit to somebody over or around his authority. That it's a frustrating thing. I praise the Lord, I haven't had to deal with it, but I've seen it happen. And it could be something small and tiny and insignificant, but when a wife submits to somebody that's not her husband and usurps the authority of the husband and goes around the husband, it frustrates the relationship. It causes a grief and a burden. I have an article, this was put out Sunday, I don't know if any of you have seen it. It was an interview of two pastors up in Canada. How many of you realize they passed a law here just last week? And it's vague enough that they can use it and apply it to churches that preach against homosexuality and any of that LGBTQ plus junk. And so they interviewed two pastors. One was a Trinity Bible Chapel, and the other one was Fairview Baptist Church. And go through, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, obviously, for sake of time. But one of them made this quote. He said, lukewarmness is a ball and chain around our ankles. Yeah. Lukewarmness is a ball and chain around our ankles. And what has happened is we have submitted to the wrong people. We've put ourselves in submission to the wrong people. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And last time I checked, church, if we want to look and see who the husband is, who the bridegroom is, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us to submit to anything else would be an injustice. And so as I want to start this morning, I want to look at point number one, who the husband is. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a benevolent husband. I tell you, there is nobody else in all of eternity that's loved the church the way the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church and died on the cross for the church. I tell you, we think about a home. I know for me, myself, as a husband, one of my things that I have to do is I have to supply for the needs of the home. That's my responsibility. The Bible says any man that won't care for his home is worse than an infidel. And as I think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the church, and now I've pastored here not very long, and Pastor Carter, you pastored much longer than I have, obviously. But I think about it, and we've never come up short on the finances. I've never been in a spot where I didn't have the things that I needed, never been in a place where it wasn't working out. Every time the church needed something, every time that we were in a position and that thing had to be filled, he was always there. He was sufficient and always around the corner to do whatever was needed to be done. Last week we had a dear lady in our church pass away. She had cancer. We knew it was coming. And passed away last Wednesday. We had the service yesterday morning. That's why I wasn't able to be here. I was planning on it. And she's a dear, sweet lady. And I remember thinking as I was starting to prepare my heart and my mind for the sermon, and Pastor Carter, I'm sure you've been here before, there was just nothing I could find that would do justice to honor her. Just faithful, member of the church for 30, 29 years, something like that. And if something needed to be done, she was happy to do it, and faithful, and there was just nothing. And then the Lord laid something on my heart and brought it all together. And even when I feel like there's just no way that this void can be met, there's nothing I can do, the Lord always finds a way to meet the need. Every single time. I've seen churches in dire situations, and I've seen pastors in incredibly picklish spots, and somehow or another, the Lord Jesus Christ always comes to his bride, and or just when she's in need, and just when things look unapproachable, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who brings in and delivers just exactly what the church needs. Every single time. He is a wonderful provider. He's a wonderful provider. As far as emotions go, he loves the church. I tell you, we can look around us. There is no institution on the face of this earth that loves the church. Just isn't. There's no organization that just always praising and helping the church. I mean, you look around us, church, and I haven't had anybody reach out and say, how can we just be a blessing to you and your church, except for another church? It's the Lord Jesus Christ that loves the church. And that same lady that we buried yesterday and put her in the ground when her boy was 11 years old, her husband left and walked out on her just to never come back again, just left her high and dry with the kids, and one of them was mentally handicapped, and she just took over on her own. And I want you to understand something. Is we think about our church that we have and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the husband of the church, who is the bridegroom of the church. He's never going to leave. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to depart and leave us high and dry. He's never going that route. He will always be here. I'm going to read with you a little bit out of Romans chapter 7. If you want to turn there, you can. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. I hear pages turning, so you want to turn there. I'll give you a little bit of time. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. He says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Now, get this and understand this. We have a Savior who's ever living. I mean, the bridegroom of the church is never going to die. He's never going to depart. We are bound to him. There's no case under which we can start submitting to any other authority than to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Bible, which he inspired. I mean, he is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And as we think about this, there's never going to be a time in church's history, previous and in the future, where the Lord Jesus Christ will give up his authority only to be broken by death. It won't happen. He's never going to die. He will always be there, and he will always be doing that. And so when I think about submitting to your own husband, I'm talking about churches and talking about us as pastors leading the churches, it's time we just start recognizing who we ought to submit to. And I think many of us in here know that. We don't have a problem with that. We don't have an issue with that. But it's high time that we as churches start standing up and saying we'll submit only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two Canadian pastors give a high warning for... they were telling American pastors. Yep. They're warning American pastors, and when he said lukewarmness is the chain and ball around our ankles, he was talking to American pastors who've gotten lackadaisy and not preaching against the sinfulness of our society, who are afraid to tell the truth and afraid to lay it down right, and what's happening is they're submitting to people other than the Lord Jesus Christ. His Spirit will only allow us to be submissive to Him. His Spirit will never lead you anywhere else. It'll never lead you anywhere else. Look at me, verse 3 of Romans chapter 7. So then if, while her husband liveth, we know the Lord Jesus Christ will never die, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she is called an adulteress. You know, if you were to go to the book of Revelation, there's a great adulterer. That's false religion. That's people submitting to anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's bad submission. So he says she is an adult. She is called an adulteress, but if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Our Lord, our bridegroom is never dying. Just when you think you can start to get lax concerning the things of God and start to get lax concerning what sin is, and just when you think it's okay to start accepting some of these social norms and all this stuff, just remind yourself who you have to submit to. Amen. Just remind yourself who you have to be in line with, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. The law is gone. It's dead. They no longer have to submit to the law. They now have to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's never going away. He's never going to leave. When the church gets... Hey, and it's looking rough for people up there in Canada. They're going in outright rebellion against the government, and good for them. Because many of them have decided, we're going to submit ourselves to the right authority. We're going to submit ourselves to the one who we know is true. We know that He won't take us into any fault. We know He won't take us down a wrong way. We know exactly where He's going to take us, and that is to heaven. Amen. We must submit unto Him. Submit unto Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your, say it with me again, own husbands. Own husbands. I'm talking about the church this morning. Aren't you ladies glad I didn't get here and preach on all you ladies? We're talking about the church today. We're talking about the picture of the church. We have a husband. No, boy, He loves us. He provides for us. He cares for us. Never going to leave us nor forsake us. I've seen many a homes left because of abandonment, different things like that. The church has been through some rough times. Been reading a little bit of church history as preparing for different things. And as I was going through Ephesians chapter 5 and went to the church at Ephesus in Revelation, and then talking about marriage, went to the church of Pergamos. And Antipas was a martyr who was killed during that time. And during that time, we could look at some of the terrible things that they did to Christians, the leaders of pretty much the world at that time. Such things as putting them in cages, lighting them on fire to illuminate their parties. And you think I'm crazy, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs and Trail of Blood and different things like that, and you'll see all the wicked and terrible things that they did to us Christians. Bible-believing people. You go through all that, Jesus never left the church. He never got to a point where He said, boy, this crowd's just a little bit more than I thought to take on when I decided to wed them. And folks, it's not going to get any easier for us as Bible believers. It's not. You think the government's bad now, you give them a little bit of time. You watch. I mean, you can see the road we're going down. Yes. You'd have to be a blind person to not see what's coming in for our future. Yeah. The good thing is Jesus be with us. Amen. I mean, as we still think about who the bridegroom is, I'm so glad that it's not the government, because they'll turn their back on me in a hurry. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He ain't ever going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. There'll be times where it seems grim. You know, if you've been married for any length of time, there are difficult times. There are difficult times. It's not always a piece of cake. I just got married recently, and, you know, here I am. We're December 4th, so we're just 6 weeks into this thing. And so far, man, it's just a peachy, rosy time. But I'd be foolish to look into the future and say we're never going to have financial struggles. I'd be foolish to look into the future and say there's never going to be emotional struggles. I'd be foolish to say there's never going to be health problems. I'd be foolish to say there's never going to be this or that. There will be times where it's difficult. And folks, I'm telling you, as the church of the living God, it's not that things are always going to be easy for us, but we will always have the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be our buckler and our shield. He'll be our strong tower. He'll be there in every time of need. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us, always standing steady and true. I tell you, for you ladies, you know this, and we can tell just by the way that God created women, that they really like to have assurance and rest in knowing what the plan is. Aren't you glad as a church that we don't have a God with an ever-changing plan? Aren't you glad that we got his plan? He told us what it was, and we just got to stick to it. That's all we got to do. I tell you, every time we come back to this book, we'll come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we come back to this book, we'll find out what we need to do, where we need to be, and what we need to say, and how we need to say it, and what we need to avoid. Every time we come back to this book, he brings us back to where we're supposed to be. This book is what takes us home. This book is what gives us comfort in our home. This book is how we fix our lives. This book is how we fix our problems. And I tell you, you know, as a family, you start dealing with things, husband and wife, whether it's money, emotional health, whatever it is, you come together and you make decisions together. And I tell you, as far as us and the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, here it is, just align yourself with it, get on the program, submit yourself unto me, and it's all going to be okay. Amen. Number one, I want to look at who the husband is. Number two, I want to look at who the husband ain't. Oh, we could put a whole pile of people on that list. And I'd like to say this. Number one, the husband ain't the government. Well, don't be linking up with the government. Don't hook your wagon to that train. Don't get on that program. I remember when they come out with the SBA loans and all that stuff to try and help the economy. We're looking back now and seeing what we knew would happen with all the inflation and everything. Giving out all that free money. I told my boys, it was Mickey. Sunday we were going into Publix, and they have back there in the fruit section for kids, they have this little thing you can take a tangerine or a banana or an apple, and it's free. And Mickey said, I want to have some free food. I said, Mickey, nothing is free. I said, I don't care what the government tells you, don't believe it. There's somebody in front of us, and I could see them kind of chuckle, and because there ain't nothing free. Somebody has to pay for it. Somewhere along the line, somebody pays for it. And when we talk about the government, they had these SBA loans, and our church qualified. Praise the Lord, we didn't take any. I had enough intelligence not to do that. Amen. Because once you take something from them, they will hold it over your head some way or another. They'll do it. And folks, we ain't married to the government. Last time I checked, they're not supplying my needs. That's who I have Jesus. That's what I have Jesus for. Last time I checked, when I need emotional support for my church, and when things look rough and things are bad, and when the pandemic set in, I mean, I got there in August 2019, and maybe there were 40 people there on a Sunday morning, and by February we were running close to 100 people. I mean, we were just growing. The church was doing wonderful. And then we were having soul winning marathon. I was like, man, we're going to be busting out seams. We're going to build a building program. But Lord seemed to have other plans. And you know what? When our church was in emotional duress, that Sunday, you guys were there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The following Sunday, we had maybe 20 people. Yeah. Maybe 20 people. I mean, we went from running 100 to maybe 20, and that was a good Sunday early in the pandemic. And as a pastor, I was like, man, what are we going to do? And I didn't have many people to turn to because I was in my rookie year. Rookie year, I mean, I had just started in this thing, and here we are, attendance is down. We know attendance is down, giving is down. I couldn't trust anything they said on the news. And even people early on, before they knew Fauci was a traitor, early on, I said, I don't trust that man. I preached a bunch of messages. I learned a lot of my preaching technique from Pastor Carter. And I preached a bunch of messages. I preached on face coverings. Now, that's every time they do that in the Bible, it's because they are ashamed. That's the truth of it. I preached on a couple of different things, all having to do with it. You know what? Nobody from the government reached out to me and said, everything's going to be okay. Nobody from CNN reached out to me and said, it's going to be okay. No, nobody did that. But the bridegroom of the church, he'd send his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I go away, I will not leave you comfortless. And boy, he contacted me sometimes in the middle of the night, and he'd say, I know things look bad and things look grim, but we've been through pandemics before, and we're going to get through it again. We've been through sickness and illness before, and we'll get through it again. And I don't care what they say. I don't care how many deaths they claim it has, and I don't care about this or that. I'm your husband, and I'm going to take care of you. Amen. Submit yourselves to your own husbands. Number one, your husband. Or who the husband is, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, your first husband, it ain't the government. Number two, it ain't society. We ain't married to society. I ain't got to fit in with society. I don't have to worry about, listen, I don't care how uncool it is to preach that homosexuality is wrong, that transgenderism is wrong. We went to, I was able to go see big right-wing activist. He's a Orthodox Jew, Ben Shapiro. How many ever heard of him? And so I went and seen him at UCF not too terribly long ago. And then a couple days later, he was up at University of Florida and had some transgender woman come in there and start talking to him. I don't know if she's male or female. I don't know. Can't tell by looking at him anymore. And she come in there and said, what about all this science and all these doctors with all these degrees saying that, you know, your gender is fluid? He said, I don't care what they say. He said, you can be an effeminate male or a masculine female, but a male cannot be a female. And they don't like that because the Bible clearly calls out the masculinity among females is not a treasure trove. And then it also says that a man is not to be effeminate. I mean, just clear as day. That's why they want to have the fluidity say, no, I'm a male. No. It ain't going to happen. It don't work that way. And I tell you, as far as the church goes, we ain't going to fit in with society that way because I ain't married to society. And they can try all they want to shove it down my throat. They can put it in every television show, and they can throw it out there, and every culture in the world can try and accept it and explain it and say it's all right and it's all okay. Not for me. I'm not submitted to you. I am submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my husband. He is my own husband, and I'm not going to go to anywhere else. He is the one I submit to, and that's him alone. Amen. I don't need to change from it. That's just where I need to go. Wives, submit to your own husbands. I'm not submitted to the government. I'm not submitted to society. I'm not submitted to the fads. No, I can't do it. The things they think are cool, I can't do it. Can't bring myself. Just not cut of that cloth. And I won't submit to it. Old fashioned. Hellfire preaching. I'm not the type of guy, say, let's just sit down and chat about this a little bit. No, I'm going to preach. I'm a preacher. I ain't gonna back down. I'm gonna stand for what I believe because I ain't about the fads. I ain't gonna pull up no bar stool and have a little side table and no, can't do it. But we had a lady visit our church here a few months ago, and she now comes pretty much every Sunday. And she come the first time she was in, she come to me after church. She said, "I can't believe it." She said, "All the men on the platform were wearing ties." She said, "It's like they honor the Lord around here." Hey, listen, as far as I'm concerned, we're still old-fashioned. Amen. Still going to honor the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, one last spot, and I'll be done here real soon. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and we know Corinth had its fair share of troubles. Paul's writing a book of rebuke to the church at Corinth. Writes to him about all types of fornication problems. They were having problems with the Lord's Supper and all their pride and vainglory with each other and discontention. Paul calls them a bunch of carnal Christians. He said, "How do I know you're carnal? Because there's strife and division and envying." Those are the signs of being carnal. If you have strife, envy, and division in your life and in your home, it's because your home is carnal. If we have it in churches, that means our churches are carnal. And to be carnal doesn't mean that we've adapted to all the world's music and all the world's way. It simply means we're not spiritually focused. Carnal is just to be focused on the things of the world above the things of God. They don't even have to be wicked things. It doesn't have to be wicked. It's just not spiritual. So Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them, "You are carnal. How do I know you're carnal? Because of strife, envying, division." He said, "I know you're carnal." Here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He said, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." He said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." He says this, he said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." But the devil has been subtle with the church. Been subtle with the church. And you know, we see a ton of churches who have submitted outside of the simplicity of Christ. You ever watch a marriage fall apart? A husband leaves a wife, wife leaves a husband, and you look and you say, "How in the world does that happen?" Little here, a little there. Little here, a little there, a little departing from the love, a little departing from the emotions, a little departing from this. Folks, I read that quote earlier. Lukewarmness is a ball and chain around our ankles. Lukewarmness is a ball and chain around the ankles of the church. Yeah. We live in a Laodicean church age. Yeah. Yeah. Submitting to everybody except for the Lord Jesus Christ. In our town, when the pandemic hit, I say this with a little bit of pride, I called my pastor and got some advice. I called Pastor Carter Saturday, so when the marathon was coming, talked to him Monday and Tuesday a little bit, if I remember correctly. And he made this statement to me, and I used this to help myself with some courage through that time. He said, "I don't own the church. I don't have the right to shut it down." And I thought to myself, you know what? That's very, very true. I didn't pay for the church. I didn't shed my blood for the church. We had people, that first Easter, we put on Facebook, "We're having indoor services, Victory Baptist Church, come out and be a part if you like." And boy, some of the hateful things that I got in response to that. "You don't care about your parishioners. I hope your people vote you out." It goes on and on, terrible things. Just submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Blessed are they who are faithful and true." Amen. Faithful and true. That's where I want to be.
Yes.
You look at a husband and wife go many, many years together, seem to end their life in blissful joy and love. It was because of mere faithfulness one to another. They're not going to look back and say, well, we're happy because we had a ton of money. They're not going to look back and say, we're happy because we followed all the fads. They're not going to look back and say, the government did everything it could to help us stay together. No, the government wants to see families destroyed, if you ask me. If they go back, it was because of faithfulness one to another. I know the Lord will be faithful unto me and my church. I want to strive for my church and myself to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. Wives, churches, submit unto your own husband. Brother Parker.